So good morning. If you're a visitor here, welcome. If you're a member, long time, welcome. It's a bit of an anomaly this week. It was a little bit cold, and then now it's hot. And tomorrow's going to be hot, then it's going to be cold. So it's all good. We got the worst in serious ways. If you weren't here the last couple weeks, we have entered into our fall series, even though it's hot, but it's our fall series. We're looking into the parables of Jesus. The parables we titled this Parables for Life. We're trying to look at some of the parables that are not talked about as much. Some of them have been talked about, maybe you've heard sermons, but hopefully some of these you have not heard before. And I believe that there's so much teaching in the parables of Jesus, so much that we can learn. Just as a recap for the previous 2 weeks, we set a definition for parables so that we're all on the same page. Let me give you a couple of those definitions. We'll dive into our scripture for this morning. The parable, let me give you two definitions. The first one is this, if you can go to the next slide, please. Parables are a simple and memorable story, often with characters and imagery used to convey a message to the intended audience. A more simplified version of that is that parables are an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So last week we examined Jesus's parable of a Pharisee and a tax collector. Ironically, this morning we're going to look at a real life situation with a tax collector. This week we're going to look at one of my favorite parables. I actually tried to just figure out the name of this parable. There doesn't seem to be a consensus to the name. Obviously, like the names of these parables were given at a later time. Jesus didn't say, like, this is my parable and you should call it this parable. So throughout history it's been called different things. I just call it the parable of the old and the new. The parable of the old and the new. That's my title, copyright that or whatever. But let me read for you today's scripture. We'll pray and we'll dive into this amazing parable. Again, it's a parable that I have loved ever since I was actually a child. The scripture for this morning is found in Luke chapter 5, verses 33 through 39. It's in your bulletins. If you get one when you walk in the door, it's in your Bibles and it's up here. Let me read this parable and this teaching from Jesus, starting in verse 33. Then they said to them, John's disciples fast often, and they say prayers. And those of the Pharisees, they do the same, but cheers, they eat, and they drink. Jesus said to them, you can't make the wedding guests fast while the groom is with them, can you? But the time will come when the groom will be taken away from them, then they will fast in those days. He also told them a parable. This is a parable that Jesus told them. No one tears a patch from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. Otherwise, not only will it tear the new, but also the piece from the new garment will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, it will spill, and the skins will be ruined. But new wine should be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants new because they say the old is better. Let's pray. Jesus, I know there's so much that you reveal about heaven here and about your plans for earth here in this parable. Very simple illustration of this parable that you've given us. God, I pray that in the next few moments, Father, that you will reveal and unfold and open our eyes and open our ears, ultimately open our hearts, Father, to hear your message. The message that will change us, the message that will guide us, the message that is a light and a hope for the world. May we hear that message. Of your Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ. So let me begin this morning's parable by giving you a little bit of background from the story, actually. So Jesus told this parable like in the middle of a major event. So let me read like the scriptures that come before the story, just kind of give you the context behind this. It's found in Luke 5:29 through 33. Put that up on the board. I'm not going to read this, but this is context behind the story, behind this parable. So we are told that Jesus was actually at a party. Like that's maybe scandalous, like Jesus partying. But that's why we should party, like in the holy word. But Jesus was at a party, and this party was not kosher. Like it was none the kosher. So in fact, this party was actually, would have been considered scandalous to pretty much everybody besides the people there. So this is the party. Jesus left the party. The party was given by this guy named Levi, who was Matthew, who actually became Jesus' disciple. And ironically, Levi was a tax collector. And if you remember the parable from last week, we talked about a tax collector who wouldn't even approach a temple, and he beat his chest and confessed his sins, and then he turned his life to Christ. Like, I don't know, maybe Jesus was talking about Levi here, but this is a living embodiment of Jesus' parable. He tells these parables, things happen. And so we're at this party. This dude, Levi, slash Matthew, is holding a party. And he's celebrating what come to realization that Jesus is Lord, and that this is good news, and that he's going to turn his life around. So he invites all of his buddies. Now, who do you think his buddies were? Were they like the religious elite, or were they like the leaders of the state, or you know, all of that? No, like this guy's buddies were other tax collectors and other sinners. So Levi has a party, a bunch of sinners come, tax collectors, sinners. And he was celebrating his newfound faith. And he invited Jesus as well. So we got Levi, sinners, tax collectors, Jesus, his disciples, and then also, like, at this party were, like, some party poopers. Like, of course, the Bible didn't say party poopers. But these people, the other people at this party were actually Pharisees and Sadducees. And they weren't fair, you see. Nobody gets my jokes. Anyway, but they're Pharisees, they're Sadducees, these were the holy rollers, like, at the time, and they were there, and I don't know why they were there. Like, we're not really told, like, who invited these people. I'm pretty sure they invited themselves. But anyways, we're not telling, we don't even know if they're, like, intertwining, or, like, you know, have a little bit of wine with the other disciples, or these sinners and tax collectors. Last week, however, we did see that if a Pharisee saw a tax collector on the same side of the street as him, they would go to the other side of the street. So I just don't really think that they were like brushing against one another here. So, but they're here, nonetheless. And they come up to Jesus as party poopers, and they're like, this is what they say in verse 31. They say, Jesus, why do you eat with these tax collectors and these sinners? They actually said, why do you eat and drink with these tax collectors? In verse 31, Jesus replied to them, and he said, the healthy, they don't need doctors, but the sick do. And I have come to call the righteous. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners. So Jesus is in the middle of this party. He's a guest of honor. And he's there for a reason. Because he wants to heal you. He wants to bring the good news that it actually changed their host, Levi. Then they ask Jesus a second question. Here was the second question. It's found in 33-35. Then they said to Jesus, he said, John's disciples, they fast often, and they say prayers. And those are the Pharisees, they do same, but yours, they just eat and drink. Like, that's what they're saying to Jesus, literally. Jesus replied to this question. Jesus said to them, in verse 34, you can't make the wedding guests fast while the groom is with them. Now, can you? But the time will come when the groom will be taken away from them, then they will fast those days. So during that time, like when people are, this is the background, when people had there were certain days and certain times that you had to fast and you had to pray. Like they just had this on their calendar if you were a religious, a Jewish person during that day. However, there was this other book called the Talmud, which is kind of like an exegesis or more of a commentary on the actual Old Testament. And it said this, and it said, if you're having a wedding, you can actually kind of skip the prayers and the fasting. So in other words, like weddings were fun. Not to say like fasting and prayers are not fun, but you know, nobody wants to go to their own wedding and just stare at there's wedding cake and I'm salivating, right? Like you're not all, like if your wedding fell on a day of fasting, you were able to eat your cake. So that's basically what you can say, like, you know, there's a wedding here, by the way, I'm in the room, you know, I'm holding a big celebration and my disciples are with me and they're just going to eat and drink because I'm with them and we're celebrating. There will come a time when they can fast and they say prayer, but now right now it's a celebration, and I'm the guest of honor. I'm the groom, and that's why they're not praying, and that's why they're not eating. So this is an explanation that Jesus gives them, and then he follows that up with a parable. And this is where a parable comes in. So that's the background. This is where a parable comes in. And he says, then Jesus further explains his reasoning that he just gave, found in verse 36. He also told him a parable. go to the next slide. And no one tears a patch from the new garment, but puts it on an old garment. Otherwise, not only will we tear the new, but also the piece from the new, the garment will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old skin, wine skins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will spill, and the skins will be ruined. But new wine will be put in fresh wine skin. No one ever drinks the old wine new, because he says the old is better. So this is our parable for this morning. This morning parable was an answer to a party pooper's question. Make this up. This is literally our parable. That's the context behind today's parable, but trust me, there is so much more behind this parable than trying to answer some Pharisees and scribes. There is so much more. So for the next few minutes, we're going to take a deeper look into this parable. We're going to see some amazing truths. We're going to see some heavenly secrets that Jesus has chosen to reveal to us through this simple parable. So, as I was kind of chewing on this parable and reading this parable, I was thinking about this, and I'd like to make a statement in this observation that it is really a simplified answer to a very complex truth. Like this parable about garments and wineskins and the old and new is a very simplified answer to a very complex truth. So this is the way that I saw it. So I'm reading this, this is what I saw. Like the God of the universe, one who created the heavens and the earth, the one that made all the stars, all the galaxies, all the entire universe and everything that exists. He has this amazing plan for all of us, for all of his creation, actually. And this is his plan, God's plan. God has a plan to save all things. God has this amazing plan to save all things. He's been working up since the beginning. He's still working today. That's what Jesus says. And his plan is to save all things. It is God. It is God. That is who God is. Like, he's a savior. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He saves things. He creates things. And then those things that he creates kind of have this weird propensity, I call it an innate ability to mess things up. Let me give you just a little, actually funny example. My daughter is a little bit over two now, and she started building things. Somebody gave her their squares, or magnetic squares. You put them together, and they kind of clip together, and they're magnetic. You can make a cube, and then you can make all types of things. But she's really into houses these days. I don't know if she's going to be an architect or whatever, but so my daughter, she makes these cubes, and we taught her about the foundation. Like, we're trying to throw in some Jesus messages and these things. I'm going to throw in the thing about the house later, the house divided. Anyways, but that's a past for me. So she's building these houses, and lately she discovered that she can stack these things up. Like, she'll get a cube, and then she'll stack the cube. She's very talented, by the way. Anybody wants to hire her in 20 years, you can do that. So, she's stacking them up, and then she does this, the cutest thing. Now, she stacks them up, yay high. She runs, and then she yells at Daddy, watch out! And she said, go to bump your head. This is her way of saying, stop falling out. And then, what do you think she does? Instead of, leaving it there, put it in a picture frame. I'm going to glue it together where it's permanently this way. You think that's what a two-year-old does? She goes up to it every single time and goes, bam, and smashes it. And then she said, bump your head. That's the story of mankind, right? We have this propensity to mess things up. You can have a young age, although it's very innocent. We have this propensity to this really messing. God created us and we kind of screw things up. And then that's a simplified message. We get more into the scripture and what it says. But it's like this. It's like we should live in peace with one another. We should have this brotherly love like Jesus is reteaching the world. But instead, we're more like, hey, let's go conquer that nation and conquer that nation and let's fight against one another. Then let's create bombs and bigger bombs and bigger bombs. And then, hey, let's build enough bombs to actually destroy the entire earth. Just in case. That's literally what we have done. This is mankind. This is who we are. We're not right with one another. And the Bible really is in a simplified way that says we're not right with God. Something's off with God. Knows that. And God is in the business of saving. So God works and creates this amazing plan to save us, to save the universe from us, actually. So he sends his son, Jesus Christ, to make things right. And Jesus arrives Jesus is. And there's a bunch of party creepers here, as I mentioned. And they call Pharisees and scribes, and they ask Jesus, what are you doing? What are you doing here? This isn't the way it should be. And really, they're asking Jesus, why aren't you doing the things that we do? Why aren't you doing things the way that we do things? And this is where I think it gets super cool. Like, Jesus could have pointed to the star and said, just told him the truth, like, I breathe those out of my mouth. And you could have got really specific and told him all of these, like, major words that I don't know are to be breathed. He could have talked about that, the formation of the world, like, kind of talked a little bit about it in Genesis, but he could have got specific in detail and going into geology and all this crazy stuff. He could have explained that I've done all of this and then followed that up with, and now I'm coming to make all of these things right because you messed all things up. Like, this is Jesus. Like, he's standing in Luke chapter 5, and he could have totally just given him that explanation. But Jesus, like, in all of his wisdom and all of his powers, all of his big word, omnipotence, he explains the mystery of his salvation from the earth by using a parable of old clothes and old white skins. That's what I saw when I'm reading this. Just think about it. That it either speaks of how small our minds are, or how brilliant God is. God tells us how he's going to save all creation by a story, a parable, using old clothes and old wine canteens. This is the only way that I can make sense of this parable, by stressing that God really, 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 really wants us to get this message. He broke down his plan of salvation into old things and new things. He's illustrating the kingdom of God coming into the earth, that great mystery here on earth, into by a parable, by using a parable about old clothes and used wine glass. So this is just my two cents as I read that, but that's what it's come to. God has to simplify his message so that we get it, but he really wants us to get it. So what is God's message? The first truth that we see, like, from this parable that Jesus really, really wants us to get is this, and he goes to the next slide, is that God wants us to fight our affinity to return to the old. God wants us to fight our desire to return to the old. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I miss my childhood. I don't know if you guys miss your childhood. I'm a grown man. And I appreciate who I am and what I have and my family. I appreciate all this. But sometimes I reminisce about the days of old. And I kind of miss my childhood. A couple weeks ago, I went to Georgia to visit my mom. We call her Nana. And when I got home, you know, my mom picked me at the airport, I walked in her house, and on her kitchen table, the box, yay high, and this big. And what do you think it's full of? Not food. Not old toys. It's full of photos. And I'm talking about thousands of photos. And one day, about 25 years ago, there's photos all over her house. I consider myself a family, like, record keeper, I don't know the right word. So I went around the house and gathered them all, stuck them in a box, and that was it. It's been sitting in this box for 25 years. So my mom said, John, please, over the next 2.5 days, go get all of these photos of the ones that you want. I meant to put up a childhood photo, but I don't know if I'm going to be married. I brought a bunch of them home, but how many of you sometimes, like, think about the good old days, right? Like, when you were a child, I was looking at all these photos of me and my three siblings, and most of them were under a Christmas tree. We had amazing Christmas memories. Sometimes we dream of the old, and I think that that's what Jesus is kind of getting at here. Like, our human nature is that we long for the things of old. I mean, there's a reason that museums are so popular. I mean, they're probably a bunch of number one tourist attractions in the world, but we long for things of the old. Old is actually popular. And for each of us, the old may be a different story. And maybe some of us had good old days. Maybe some of us had bad old days. In this particular parable, Jesus is referring to the old, specifically referring to, like, a legal system. Like, it's called the law that came before Christ, although there was a law of righteousness that came before the Mosaic law, and Jesus bringing the new covenant. But Jesus is speaking about the old law, called the law, which is actually the current during that time, but we And Jesus is giving an illustration of sewing new cloth onto old cloth that results in disaster. So for most of us, what does that say? Like, what we, most of us are not under that legal system. I don't recall any of us going out and sacrificing animals. A couple weeks ago, that, like, our old is not the legal system. That just doesn't happen. So what I would like to say is that for most of us, the old that Jesus is speaking of here can easily be applied to the you before Christ. The old here, for most of us in this room, not all of us, but the old here can be applied to the you before Christ. So the old cloth in this parable was the you before Jesus came into your life. So if you apply Jesus' teachings here to your life, this is what it looks like. And this is, like, this is how I kind of rewrote this. Go back. You can look at this parable now. Let me read it. No one takes your new life with Christ and puts it with your old life before Christ. If you do, it will tear the new and it won't even match the old. In a similar manner, no one puts your new life with Christ into your old life before Christ. If you do, the new life will burst and it will spill and it will cause ruin. So this is the way I reworded this parable. Here, Jesus talked about the life before we even knew about Christ, before, for many of us in here before life, we chose to decide to follow Christ. So, again, I don't know what this means in your context for your life, but let me share what this parable means in my life. Maybe you can relate or maybe you can't. But my old self, and I've been trying to figure out how to choose these words carefully because you don't want to, like, glorify your whole life. Share too much. Some people don't have the power to hear correctly, but my whole life before Christ was messed up. It was old. Before I became a Christian, I partied a lot. Like, this is before I was in college. I was a partier. Like, all of my friends were into drugs. I frequently went to drug parties and where we would sit around in a circle and everybody would try out the drugs, and all my friends were drug dealers. Like, you guys probably, oh, pastor, I have no idea. But I'm not, that's my old life, okay, so. And then, it was bad. I mean, I remember my friends tripping on acid, and they were trying to, no, praise God, I never did acid, but I remember it was such a temptation. My friends had this little white cube, and they're like, you know what you're telling, just do it. Like, we'll drink a soda afterwards. And then, I remember my friend, 48 hours of sleep, and, like, luckily I didn't fall to that temptation. These are my friends. I smoked, I did Kodiak, chewing tobacco, everything. Like, that was me before I met Christ, right? And it was bad. I mean, my brother's best friend, Bobby, he died. My older brother's best friend took away all of his stuff, and then he killed himself. He was on drugs as well. Like, like my old self. And I share all of this, like, not to boast of what I used to be, but I share this to compare with what I am now, right? By the grace of God, not anything that I've done. Though I actually knew Christ, I knew of Christ, like, during those partying days, I made a commitment to Christ. I go to pray the sinner's prayer when I was around 12. But I was trying to sew, like, this new cloth into something. My old life, and it just wasn't sticking. Like, I knew of Christ, but I had not fully dedicated my life to Christ. In fact, whenever I went to church, and maybe this relates to some of you, whenever I went to church during those times, or I read the Bible, or I prayed, like, it actually hurt. But something physically, actually spiritually inside of me started hurting. And I think it was perhaps God tugging at my heart. Because there was a separation going on there, my old life and my new life. And I was trying to sow, like, something old and new into my life. God didn't want me to do these worldly things. So fast forward, 5 years later, I was like 17 or 19. I went to college, and my second year of college, I was invited by this guy. His name is Rob Lowe. I don't think he's a famous guy. I went, it was good food. Like, they had churches come in and cook for all the college students. You pay $3.25, and it was awesome. And they had a pool table, a ping pong table, so I was sold. I went there, and honestly, the people were weird, like, to me. Like, because they were always happy. And they were always excited about everything. I'm going to play pool? Literally, I was used to going to pool halls where everybody's smoking. It's like, you know, it's filled with smoke, and everybody's drinking, and big country music, playing on the jukebox. But I kid you not, that was a word, and then I go to the pool hall. So these guys were weird to me. Like, they were, why are you so excited about everything? Who's playing pool? So once I had a drug, they took the dragged me into going into this missions conference to see if I wanted to go on a mission trip. And I was like, free mission trip, you know, and for the cave, go. This is my old mentality, right? Like, I went to this mission trip, this conference to see if I could actually be accepted to a mission trip. It's called Missions Weekend or something like that. And I went there, I played all of their games, and I knew, I'd grown up kind of in the church, so I knew all of the right answers. It's like Jesus, and every answer, right? And then, the last night, they got together and they all started singing. They like dimmed the lights. I was like, this is weird. I'm not used to this. And then they all started singing, and I got mad because I was frustrated because I didn't know the words to what they were singing. Nobody thought about putting one of the projector things. You know, this is before the LED and stuff. And then I'm old, so. And then they start. I'm getting somewhere with this. Okay, this is my old self. I hope it relates to something. But this is my testimony. And then they started singing the songs, so I shout to the world. Like, I never heard it. Like, of course, it's old these days. It's old. But I never heard it. And I saw these people, and I opened my eyes. My eyes were never open. Never looked. And I looked around. Everybody said, hands up. Everybody contemplative. And I saw something. Like, God, I would describe it as open my eyes. And I remember the thought that these guys are not faking it. Like, that was my thought. And I looked around and I said, they really are happy. They really are excited about it. So at that moment, I realized that it's real. Like, it's true. And there was a Holy Spirit moment, and I literally wept. I mean, I was in tears. I'm not even like that. I got on my knees. I rededicated my life to Christ, whatever that means. I believe in it because that's what I did. I said, God, I'm yours now. I believe I screwed up and I want to get rid of my whole life. And by the way, like 3 years later, I came back and I led worship and I sang that same song, the same spot. And then, of course, I bust out in tears as well. I think I had, no, it's called popcorn worship. But anyway, still no words, but God in 3 years has totally changed my life. So it's kind of like this, like Paul said in Galatians 3:20, he says, this is what happened to me, this is what Paul talks about. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. And that's what, that is me. And that's the old me had to be done with. The old self had to go. But there was something like I had to deal with at that time. I needed to decide what I was going to do with my old garment. What I was going to do like, with my old self. And in the light of God's salvation, I saw like my garment as old. And I saw it as full of holes. And I had to ask myself, like, what am I going to do with my old self? And was I going to go throw away my garment, you know, my old self? Or how was I going to put on this new garment if I still had this old garment? And I had to make that choice. So for me, I don't know about for you, but I know this doesn't sound easy, but I got rid of my friends. They were all drug dealers and all drunkards. And you know, I remember all of them showing up cross country bees all drunk. And like, and so if you're struggling with an addiction or whatever, or sin, like you don't really need to be hanging around friends like that. And I know it doesn't sound kind or sound nice, and I don't know if you're old context, but for me, I had to say goodbye to my old self, that involved my friend. And, you know, it was kind of cool, like, there were three pastors. There weren't really like 8 of us. Like, 3 of us became pastors, and then one of us married pastors. I think God was really working on us during that time. So that's that. You want your things that are going to bring you down. You don't want to put back on that old shirt, which I was tempted to. You know, they're always like, "Hey, come party!" I always give them excuse. But Jesus knows our propensity to return to the old. Like, his message is this: the old and new don't match. Like, that's the first thing that we can draw, that we can learn from this parable. Next thing we can learn from this parable is this: and this is really good. This deep stuff. I know it's a lot, but it really just wants to get this. This is something that I call it Jerry rigging. I just said that as a child. Like, yeah, I'm a Jerry rig this. Make it work. You probably never heard of this. I don't know. Who's heard of that? Jerry rig. Yeah. So, okay. Maybe it's new for people, right? Jerry rig. I didn't know this. A sailboat used to have a mast, like a big pole to hold the sail. If that sail broke, they had a backup mast, which was called a jerry rig, or some people call it a jury rig. We have a propensity and a tendency as people to kind of jerry rig our stuff, our life. You might be saying to yourself, like, I want to wear my old shirt and just put on some new stuff. To make it look new. And Jesus talked about this garment, this old garment. Like, I want to keep on my old shirt, I just want to make it new. So when I was a kid, we used to have jeans, and we used to get holes in our jeans, and then we patched them up. Like, everybody sees them nodding head, like, that was, it wasn't cool, this is what you did. And like, now they do that, like, today. I don't know if they do it today. Like, they sell jeans like that today, patched up. Now it's cool, but back in the day, we just like patched stuff up because we had to survive it. But some of you just want to hang on to your old garment and just put a little patch of something new on to like make it look like to jerry rig. Like, I'm not going to just put on this new garment. I'm going to keep my old garment, put a few little patches of some new stuff on here. I call it jerry rigging. Some of you want to keep on that old. Add a little dab here, a little dab there to you. Listen to what Jesus said about that. In Luke 5:36, he says, "No one tears a patch from the new garment, puts it onto the old garment. Otherwise, not only will it tear the new, but it also, the piece from the new garment will not match the old garment." Jesus says, trying to fix things your way is not going to work. This is what jerry rigging is. This is what Jesus is saying. Like, it's not going to work, guys. Not keep your old and dabble a little bit in the new and try to make it all work. It's going to tear, ruin both, and it won't match. And I don't know exactly how this speaks to your own situation, but I imagine that a number of you in this room fall into this category. It's like this Jesus thing. Like, I like the Jesus thing. I like him in the church. Maybe a pretty girl at church, a pretty man at church, or something like that. I kind of like this. Cool food, 325 wine, or whatever. Like, you're trying to dabble a little bit in it, but you want to keep your old self at the same time. Basically, you're trying to have the best of both worlds, and you want to have your foot like in one door, and your other foot in the other door. Guess what Jesus says is going to happen? Like, it's not going to work. Jesus literally said, you cannot try to do this with your old life. You can't try to patch it in something and make it look. Jesus says, if you do this, it's going to tear both worlds, and it will look ugly. Yeah. It's literally what, he didn't literally say that, but he said it's not going to match. Like, did you know that Jesus was into fashion? Literally, that's what he said. It's not going to match, guys. Like, there you go, fashion advice from Jesus. You can't sew together an old sweater and a new sweater, and it won't match. Right? It'll ruin both. So let me give you a good example of that. I have lots of examples this morning. So one of my best friends, I'm not going to give his name, but in high school, his father had passed away in high school, so his mother was a believer, a Christian. His older sister was a Christian, and he had made a promise to like one of them that he was going to go to church at least once a week, right? So this is just a promise that he made. So once a year, not once a week. So he came to me and he's like, "John, I'm going to church this week. Like, it's my one time a year, I'm going to go, will you go with me?" This is in high school. Again, it's kind of still a mess up a whole job. It actually was a whole job. And I was like, "Sure, dude. Like, let's go." And then, it's like, he chose the church, and it was a really messed up church. Like, I mean, it's messed up for us. I don't know how to explain it, but we went there, and it's just, he and I were sitting there, and a pastor started talking about all these visions and all this stuff. And he got his visions. But his vision was that he went around his house and prayer walked a bunch of things. And then he said, God told him that there's going to be there's going to be an evil presence in the church that morning. And then I looked at my friend, I thought I told him, I literally said, it's either you or me. Because I remembered all the visitors, man, talking about being unwelcoming. And then they started busting out the holy oil. I believe in holy oil. But like not this way, it was chaotic, it was disorderly. And they all started going up front, and they did the whole, I'm not going to mention pastor's name, but they go up there. Pushes them, the other catches them. They're all getting oil, and then everybody starts speaking in tongues. They're babbling, like nobody translating. It was disorderly, and they had this statue of this knight on the outside, literally a knight. And he's like, oh, they start rubbing all that oil all over him, all over. I'm like, this is messy. Like, what? Me and my friend and I were just thinking, like, this, what if we get? And I was like, why did you invite me here? So I say all that to say that he never went back. He was trying to sow. He had his own life, and he was trying to sow a little bit once a year, sow that church into his life. And it ended up in a short book. I mean, the guy, I'm friends with him on Facebook, my older brother's still friends with him. He's very strong to atheist, and he's always put his stuff, like putting down Christians. He believed what he wants to believe, but it's like, oh, criticize other people like that. Still doesn't believe in Jesus, so he tried to do that whole passion thing, and it didn't work out. He never wanted to put on a new shirt. He just wanted to patch it. Some of you may be like that. You just want to dabble a little bit in Christianity or in the church or whatever. And Jesus says, it's not going to match. You're going to end up tearing both out. So here's the question. Like, if you can't go back to the old, like Jesus doesn't want us to go back to the old. And if you can't patch in like something from the new to kind of fix it, the jerry-rig, you know, what are we to do? What is Jesus? Answers that question is found in Luke 5:37-38. I call it new wineskins. This is not like the best like title, but it's called new wineskins. Luke 5:37-38. Jesus says, "No one puts new wine into old wineskin. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins. It will spill, and the skins will be ruined. But the new wine should be put in fresh." Now, let me ask you guys a question about who here has ever bought a brand new car? Wait, brand new car, less than 50 miles, that smells new, not like the used car lots where they spray the used car smell into the vents and they think you're buying a new car. Like, who has bought a new car here? Okay, so those people who bought a new car, like, how many of you bought a new car, traded in your old car, parked a new car in the garage and never used? Nobody does that, right? That's not so. How many of you traded in your old car for your new car? Like, Jesus is kind of getting at something. Nobody spends like $40,000 on a new car just to park it in the driveway. But when we buy something new, generally, like, it's because the old has died. It needs replacing. Jesus in this parable here in Luke chapter 5 is being like very, very polite, but in a simplified way, and he's telling us it's time to trade in our old car for a new car. Husbands, if you're like looking for some rationality to get a new car, be like Pastor John said, it's prophetic. Time to trade in my old car for a new car. I'm not really talking about cars here. This is a new one. But he's using garments and wineskins for his illustration. They didn't have cars. But it's the same concept. It's time to trade on the pump. It's time to step into your brand new garment or your brand new wineskin. The old garment, it's faded. It's old. It's even not fixable. There's no way you're going to jerry-rig this thing. You've got to get rid of it. It's like those clothes in your closet. You see these shows, like, there's this rule. After 2 years, you don't wear them. What do? You get rid of them, right? Like, this is what Jesus is literally saying. Like, you gotta get rid of this stuff. You gotta donate it to Southeastern Army. He said, I do that all the time. make things better. You've got to get you something new. Jesus says this in verse 38, but new wine should be put into fresh wineskins. We never knew somebody did this. Let's repeat this with me. Can you get it? No, it's all there. It's verse 38. New wine should be put into fresh wineskins. I didn't hear it, but let's repeat it with me. Let's practice. New wine should be put into fresh wineskins. And at that point, I think that Jesus was looking at these Pharisees and these scribes. He's just telling them, like, he's looking into your soul. And he's telling heavenly truth. And he's revealing it. And he's looking at them and saying, new wine has to be put into fresh wineskins. And this is how God sees our relationship with him. He sent something new. A new wine. And a new wine deserves a new vessel. It deserves a fresh vessel. And that's exactly what Jesus said, something fresh. In fact, Jesus says that if you try to put this new wine that Jesus is offering into an old vessel, listen to what will happen in verse 37. The new wine will burst the skins, and it will spill, and the skins will be ruined. This is like Jesus prophetically speaking of the new wine that is coming from Jesus. Let me just give you like a spiritual truth we can give from Jesus' teaching here. That God is not going to pour his new life into you if you just leak it out all over the ground. Or if it's going to burst you or ruin you. Let me say that. God is not going to pour his new life into you if you're just going to burst and leak it out all over the ground. If you're going to spill all of his blessings and burst and be ruined, which doesn't want, he's not going to pour his spirit into you. And that's what Jesus said. Like I said, this is a very deep message, some parable, a heavenly message, deep message. God requires a new vessel for his new wine. And it's not going to work if you stand before God with some old, dried up, holy, but you know, like the holy, not the holy, righteous, but the holy vessel will say, God, fill me up. God, fill me up. And that's just not how God works. Instead of filling up the old, God makes new. And this is just a heavenly truth that Jesus reveals. Instead of filling up the old, God makes new. God gives us a new wineskin, a new garment. He does away with the old, and he gives us an entirely new garment and a new vessel. Not made of human hands or human effort, as he tells Nicodemus in John 3. Not built with good works, as Paul tells in Ephesians chapter. So not fashioned from some self-willed creative ingenuity, like we love to do these days, like to save ourselves. Like, it's not going to happen. The vessel that God is talking about here only comes from God. So, how does one acquire a new vessel? Like, that's a question you've got to be asking yourself. How do you get a new wineskin? How do you get a new garment? And there's no easy way to explain this, but it's worth it. It's a little bit inside, I can tell you. From Scripture, here's an attempt to explain, like, huge heavenly truth, just through a few scriptures. How do you get the new wineskin? Like, you gotta be asking yourself, if I can get an old one, I can't sew anything into it, if I'm gonna pour into my old one, it's gonna burst, literally. I need the new wineskin. How do I get that? The first thing you must do is believe in God. Romans 10:9, it's not a scripture, it's not a word, but let me read it. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. The first thing you got to do is believe in God. You got to be like the task like the last week. You got to be like the disciple of Paul. You got to be like every other person that's put on the view. You got to believe Jesus Christ. The second thing you got to do is you got to confess your sins to God. You got to get rid of your sins. You got to get rid of your old self. Again, it's like that task collector last week. These parables all tie together. Come to God and say, I'm a sinner. I repent. Save me. Jesus gave us these heavenly instructions. And finally, you got to be resurrected with this new wineskin, this new vessel. Like, it doesn't come from you. You can't catch it in. You can't make the old you. You've got to have this vessel from God. What are the vessels? One way to describe this vessel is resurrected. John 11, Jesus, like he said before, Lazarus had died. His sister came to Jesus and said, Jesus, whoever lives by believing in me will never die if you believe this. You're going to be resurrected in this new vessel. But God is already, like, if you believe in Christ, you believe in him, you confess your sins, and then you will receive this new vessel from God. Romans chapter 8, like Paul's trying to describe this huge heavenly mystery here. And he says, for those who, it's 8:29, Romans 8:29, for those who God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he called, and those he called, he justified, and those he justified, he glorified. Paul is describing this new vessel that God is making. He predestined us, he called us, he justified us, and then we're going to be glorified. Okay, so that was a new vessel. I'm sorry, like, it's a huge heavenly mystery. It's a heavenly message. It's revealed in the scriptures, but we need a new vessel. And how do you get that vessel? You believe in Christ, you confess your sin, and you receive. All will call in the name of the Lord when they say it. Like, that's what the Bible tells us. So let me kind of wrap this parable up. I know there's a lot here. How does this parable apply to me? Like, how does it speak into my own life? So the first thing that you can do, like if you go home, our actions right now, you can go to the next slide, please, is put aside the old and put on the new. Like, this is what Jesus is saying. Put aside the old and put on this new vessel. Some of us need to burn the old shirt, like the old garment. Some of us need to toss out that old dry up wineskin that you've been lugging. Isn't that kind of weird how Jesus described your old life before? It's like old dried up and cold, like the holes in it, ready to burst if he could pour anything into us. For some of us, it's time to put on that new garment. Jesus is calling us to something better. Like, that's his message. He's in a message. He came here to save us. Jesus was preparing us for what was to come, the new covenant that was to be poured out on many. Some of you just need to get rid of that old garment. The second thing, how can this apply to you? Is this. Stop mixing the old with the new. That's what Jesus is saying. Jerry, or whatever you want to call it, creative ingenuity, or pride, or whatever you want to call it, stop mixing the old with the new. Some of you have been trying to mix the new with the old. Like, this parable kind of works to both ways. Like, not only are you old and you're trying to, like, dabble in the Christianity, but some of you are in Christianity and dabbling in the old. You're trying to sew that patch. Like, it works both ways. Actually, it's terrible. Some of you already have the new garment. So stop trying to sew, like, your old life back into your new garment. You should have tossed that garment away. Like, some of you still have that garment in the closet. Like, you still have it or out in the backyard. But you still know where it is, and you can go get it, and you kind of sew it on a little bit here and there. But this is Jesus' message for you. Stop sewing the old back into the new. It doesn't match, and it's going to rip. And it doesn't, this doesn't look good. It doesn't match up. Let this be a message for some of you. Like, don't try to sew that old back. Stay in the path of righteousness. I pray this prayer all the time. And I ask God to set my feet on the path of righteousness. You say it however you want. Let thy word as a lamp to my feet. You know, the song. Like, I pray that. And I ask God to set my feet on the path of righteousness. Whether you admit it or not, us as Christians, you know, although we have a new garment, we have that tendency to go back and, like, find that old garment and kind of catch it and stop it. That's what Jesus saying here. And then lastly, this is kind of cool part that I never saw, and this is actually revealing. Try some new wine. Some of us here, this is your invitation from God, from Jesus, to try some new wine. You only have to be 21, right? To try this new wine. Note, at the end of this parable, Jesus says this sentence. We go to the last slide there. It's Luke 5:39. Says, no one after drinking old wine wants new, because it says the old is better. And I've read it so many times. What are you saying, Jesus? I thought you just said that we should have the new. now you're saying, try that all you don't want from you. And after reading, and seeing what other authors, and actually looking into the original language, this is what was revealed to me, and I just want to reveal it to you, and I think it's a powerful message. Jesus is not making a statement here, but he's making a warning. He's warning that some of you are stuck in the old and don't even want to try the new. Some of you are stuck in your old life, but Jesus is offering this new wine and this new wineskin and this new garment, but you don't even want to try it because you like the old so much that you don't even want to try the new. This is the illustration that I put together. Like, it would be like going to a wine tasting event, like a wine tasting party. Go to a wine tasting party, come up to you or offer. But it would be like going to a wine tasting party, and like Jesus is making the wine. Like, he's a masterful wine maker, we know that. And he's sending butlers or angels or whatever you want to call them, like, and they're going around and they had these trays. Really, Jesus made it. And then there are billions of people, and all those billions of people are saying, it's the best wine I've ever had in my whole life. Like, some of you may be salad. But it's hot today outside, Mr. Sun. Everybody's testimony is the same. It's awesome. Jesus says it's awesome. In fact, it was made in a miraculous way. They're like, just take something. And then you're like, no. I prefer my old two-buck chuck. Like, I prefer my old wine, and I don't even want to try that stuff. That's what it looks like. Jesus is offering the greatest wine that has ever been offered to mankind. And he's asking you, do you want to try that wine? But some of you are stuck in your own ways. You don't even want to venture out and try that new wine. This message was given by Jesus. It's given by the creator of the heaven and earth, and he came to earth to deliver it to you. For some of you, it's a warning, not battle. For some of you, it's a promise. For some of you, it's an invitation. Jesus says, drink from the well of living water so that you will never be thirsty again. This is the new wine that Jesus is offering. Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's an invitation, this new wine. Jesus said, I've come in the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins, and this is the new wine that I'm offering. I will not drink it through your blood until I come back. I mean, this is the wine that Jesus offered. It was so awesome back in the day that when the apostles, like after Pentecost, when they were standing around, they're sharing the gospel, and they were happy, and they were excited. Guess what? Everybody thought that they were drunk. Like, it literally says that in the book of Acts. Like, this is the new wine that Jesus is offering to us. Taste and see that it is good. It will become like a wellspring of eternal life, like flowing up into you. And the new garment, also, try on the new garment for Jesus. Jesus said, look at all the lilies of the field, and the flowers, and the birds, and see how my Heavenly Father has like adorned them. Like, that's nothing compared to how he's going to adorn you with the new garment. He's going to put a garment of praise on you. He's going to put a garment of righteousness on you. He's going to clothe you with salvation. He's going to clothe you with new life. He's going to clothe you with eternal life. He's going to clothe you with his love. This new wine is going to fill you with the new wine. It's going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. It's going to put all these fruits, Spirit, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus' parable here. The new blood is just about old wine and about the old wine skins of God, old friends. So we'll end this parable by asking these questions. What are you wearing today? Look at yourself. Do you have an old garment, or do you have a new garment? Are you trying to patch it? Are you an old wineskin, or a used wineskin? And last,
lastly, have you tasted to see that the Lord is good? God's message wrapped up in the parable of the Spirit.
Father God, there is so much here, God. I wish we had a lot more time, God, to just dwell in your parable, in your teaching, and what you have to offer, Jesus. It is amazing. And it was all in response, Jesus, to the Pharisees and the scribes as they asked you, what are you doing? Why are you here? And this was your answer, Jesus, to bring the new, Father, to do away with the old, to keep us from trying to dabble and doing this ourselves, to sow again a little bit of new into the old, to warn us that will lead to ruin. Jesus, you came to warn us. That's why you gave us this message. And Jesus, we thank you for the new wine that you do offer. God, I pray for those here who may consider themselves to have old wines. Jesus, I pray that you will speak to them, that you will open their eyes and their hearts. Jesus, that you will reveal to them how beautiful a new garment would be, and how beautiful a new wine would be. Reveal to them the joy, Father, of pouring your new wine, Father, into a fresh garment, into a fresh wine skin. Jesus, this is a promise that you give to us. Change our hearts, open our hearts, lead us in.